and welcome to AFL Tonight. I am your host, Tim Capper. A very big, exciting week has been now upon us. More information than coming out of the Gulf Coast, but not as much oil that's spilling, unfortunately. On the other side, we have, as usual, my cohort in crime, Mr. J.P. Worley. Welcome.
Big day. Big day.
Yeah, and you know what? We were all led up to lead. You know, the way that the commissioner teased us on the Arena Football Friday, you had mentioned it before, he teased us a couple weeks in a row, but this time it was like, tune in Friday. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You'll be sure to tune in at halftime, whatever he said. But I was like,
but the cat is already out of the bag.
Two cats. No, you're right. Actually, pun intended.
No
pun intended.
But we dropped that cat out of the bag a while ago.
That's right.
We always get the scoop.
That's right. First and foremost, and you can mention the second one, as of today, 9 o'clock, actually it went live at midnight. As you can tell, we're taping this on a Wednesday. The Philadelphia Soul are back. In their ownership team. The Philadelphia Soul are back in the Arena Football League. Their site, Twitter account, and their Facebook page all went live today. A little bit different ownership. I mean, I guess, you know,
The Soul are back with two less middle fingers in the air.
That's right. And they brought in somebody else, so hopefully it won't be a middle finger. He may get the middle finger. exactly. From former Scranton Wilkes-Barre Pioneer fans. You never know. Or will they embrace?
I would embrace the team. Yeah. Well, Wiener Dog's getting a little anxious over here because he wants you to announce the other team.
Oh, it's right, and we have our first mascot of the week. It's JP's Wiener Dog. He's not known by anything else. It's just Wiener Dog. If you call him something else, he may nod your toes. And I don't want my toes gnawed off by Wiener Dog. Hopefully he'll be able to speak a little bit later. You never know. He may just pop up.
We'll try to get him on.
Say something. No, you go ahead. We were talking about. I was going to talk about Philadelphia. Go ahead. And what's the other?
Well, the other cat, so to speak, out of the bag is the.
Don't piss off Wiener Dog. Yeah, I don't think he likes. I don't think he likes cats. But
now he likes these cats.
Oh, does he?
Oh, he's got good taste in teams. He does. He's a real bandwagon jumper. I call him. But yes, the San Jose SaberCats are back. Fry is bringing back the team,
and that actually broke right before we went to air tonight.
Yes, it broke around. I don't know. I was going to say three. Well, no, it actually broke 2 or 3 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday.
Oh, it did.
I believe so.
Because I know,
I believe it broke that early. Don't quote me on that.
No, I'm not sure. Because as I said, I know I was watching. I wasn't watching Arena Fans news feed, but I had not seen anything. And it's actually the last things that we picked up. I have the story here. It's actually broken.
I'm sorry. It broke at 5 p.m.
Yeah, around 5 p.m. You were right. If you were on Western Pacific time, you would be absolutely correct.
That's what I meant.
But go ahead and quick, for those who don't know or haven't read the boards on what or the story itself that it's pertaining to or the post, how did it occur? I mean, I thought it was pretty original considering, but how did it occur?
Well, Coach Arbet called in to the Oakland A's pregame show. It was the dugout show with Chris Townsend in the Bay Area. And he announced that his San Jose SaberCats were coming back to Arena Football in 2011. A very odd way of doing it. Of course, not an official announcement, but more of a way to get it out to the sports fan itself right away.
Exactly. And it was a very similar to how the Soul did it. There was a story broken or that was posted at the Philadelphia News website, Daily News website.
Right.
And as we saw it, the Arena Fan did break it. So, you know, if you're not on our Twitter feed or on our Facebook page, You're not going to be able to see these things and get this information. Forget about all these rumors that you keep seeing on our message boards or any of the other message boards. You see,
unless they come from me.
Unless they come from JT. check our Twitter feed.
You yes.
Breaking news from other sources, but breaking news nonetheless.
Correct, correct.
Nonetheless.
And if you're not connected with our Twitter and our Facebook pages, then shame on you. And you only have yourself to blame when you're left in the dark.
That's right. And you know what? All of a sudden, I have totally forgotten what is our Twitter account page address.
I have no idea. I clicked link and that was it.
There we go. There, X to that one. It's twitter.com/arenafan. And now knowing that, JP, what's our Facebook page?
I'm hoping it's facebook.com/arenafan.
Oh, my God. You are so right. You are so right. You know what? Now that I hear what has happened with Philadelphia, you know, Philadelphia coming back, San Jose coming back. Maybe it's coincidence or not. Did you happen to notice that Philadelphia beat San Jose again?
Without the process of replay.
Without the no replay necessary on this one. No replay necessary. The new owners, as mentioned, I was looking it up. The new owners for the Soul are going to be Craig Spencer, Ron Jaworski, Jaws, Peter Ciarocci, I hope I'm pronouncing it properly, and former Scranton Pioneers owner Cosmo DiNicola. So I'm sure we'll find, but the rumor is, according to the San Jose Mercury story, is that the team will be owned by the Fry family once again.
Right. Right, and other rumblings in the league. Should we go into those?
Yeah,
no,
by all means. We've started a trend already. Let's
all right.
not tick everybody else off by going to another topic. Oh, by the way, did you hear JP? No, I'm just kidding.
Yes.
Go ahead.
a few rumblings that I've heard are two more teams are a go for 2011, and that would be Kansas City. Going to be transplanted from Dallas, with Dallas getting a new team.
Interesting. It's funny. Kansas City was one of those teams that had been rumored before, was on again, off again. So interesting. Any backstory? I mean, is Woody Kern going to keep the Dallas franchise? Is he selling the franchise to Kansas City, to a Kansas City owner?
What I don't know. The only rumblings I've heard is there's just going to be a little switcheroo in the Big D. Another rumbling I heard is there's a team in one of the Carolinas is a go, set, done deal for 2011.
Carolina, I don't know.
Charlotte, Raleigh, I'm hoping, please God, don't let it be Myrtle Beach.
Myrtle Beach.
But we, you know, I have heard that they are a go. They're set. They've paid their dues and whatnot, and they're ready to go. Just awaiting an official announcement from them. Another rumbling I heard is New York. Yes, the Dragons
very well
are
deserved.
A maybe for 2011, but a very strong maybe for 2012. Again, details have to be ironed out and whatnot, so wait for an official announcement from them.
Now, what's happening with the rumored on-again? Same thing, on-again, off-again, Lynn Swan, partial ownership Pittsburgh team.
Pittsburgh is a no for 2011, from what I've been hearing.
Interesting.
Don't know anything about 2012. All I'm hearing is that they're a no. I don't know if they've got their stuff together, if they've worked out that new arena that they're building there in Pittsburgh is holding them up. I have no idea other than they are a no for 2011.
This seems strange, too, because we had brought it up before in previous previous shows, and they really – and you checked also and you verified they do not have any other – tenants there except for the Penguins. So
exactly. So I don't know. I don't know what the deal is other than maybe the Penguins or whoever owns the arena is wanting too much. because that was an issue with the final team that there are rumblings about is L.A. and playing at Staples Center. L.A. is rumored to be funded by Fry until he can find an owner for L.A.
Interesting. And obviously, as we know, with the quote-unquote expansion cost, which is minute compared to the $20 million some of these teams, you know, were butt purchased for, or, you know, whatever. It shouldn't be that hard. I wouldn't be surprised. Now, this is just my own speculation. I wouldn't be surprised if Casey Wasserman somehow gets involved within this. I don't know if that's going to if that will occur, but I would think so. I mean, Wasserman was great for the Avengers. If they are going to be called the Avengers, I wouldn't see why they wouldn't be. But
maybe the Cobras.
I don't know. Maybe no. And please God, not the Cobras again in Carolina. No, I really have problems right now with having a team in Carolina. I really don't know what is making them think. What market could they go into, which hasn't already been destroyed? Because if you think about it, especially in the Carolinas, you go from Charlotte to Raleigh, and you know, and then the Cobras trying to look like the uniforms 1 year try to look like the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, definite 49er ripoff. Yeah, I remember that.
There are two claims to fame to this team, one being a score, 99 points scored upon them, and the other being the only team in league history to have three head coaches in one season, which nobody answered, by the way. I tossed it out last week and nobody seemed wanted to answer. Guys, if you know, with Arena Fan looking into possibly getting some new swag out there for our fans, and we have mentioned it, we're trying to make some caps, it would have been a very good prize.
I still want Paws' cap from 2000.
I think Joe has some.
No, I want his
his actual cap.
No, I want the actual one that he wore on TNN and got fined for by wearing it by the league. I want that cap.
It's
signed by him, of course.
It's one of those holy grails, right?
It would make a fine addition to the Sidelines AFL Hall of Fame.
Now, actually, great segue. I actually wanted to ask you something. Before, any other news besides what we've heard, besides the teams that you had brought up? Any rumblings about Boston? Any rumblings about any other teams?
I haven't heard anything about Boston. I don't understand. Pittsburgh perplexes me, too.
Yeah, Pittsburgh perplexes me because they've been around. Supposedly they have been a go, or at least for...
When you have these ownership groups that were willing to pay $20 million to be in the Arena League, and then all of a sudden the dues go down to, I believe they were said to be only $2 million.
Which is nothing.
In 2011, it's not nothing, but it's nothing compared to $20 million.
No.
Dollars. It perplexes me to where these guys went unless there was maybe something going on behind the scenes. Wink, wink, David Baker.
Do you know for the price of one expansion club, do you know how many shares in the Milwaukee Iron Football Club you could actually purchase?
I think you could get four teams worth.
Possibly, considering
you could start an AF2 team too.
They're penny right now. It's penny stock.
Yeah.
I want my here. I'll take my stock for 5 cents. Sure, why not? You mentioned, and the only reason why I brought this up because I saw you post about it, and you speaking of the Sideline Hall of Fame and all of your memorabilia that you have acquired. I hear you have an interesting new, and I want to hear the story behind this because you really didn't let on to how this came about. You came across and have purchased a very unique old school arena football item.
Yes. And I just received it in the mail today, no less.
Oh, fantastic.
I was very happy.
So tell us about it.
It is a Zubaz practice jersey from the old Tampa Bay Storm.
So first I say Spokane, you say Spokane. I say Zubaz, and you say Zubaz. So
Zubaz.
Okay, go ahead.
You gotta put a manly spin on Zubaz.
What are you wearing? Is that Zubaz?
No, it's Zubaz.
Zubaz for men.
Oh yes, this is probably my oldest piece now, without a doubt.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, anybody to have something, like, to find something circa first 5 years of the league, if they know, Albany.
Late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, because I know Albany, the original Firebirds, came around in 90. Oh, I should know this. I was a fan of the team. I think it was 94. No, my first game was in 93, so it couldn't be. I think it was 91. 91 for the Firebirds. Either way, I think that was the year where Zubaz was around for the Arena League for like 2 or 3 years, if I remember correctly. But I'm stepping all over your story here. So anyways, continue.
Oh, it's okay. But yeah, this was a great find, and I jumped all over it. And I'm now looking it up, and I mean, this was back when the Storm had the blue helmets.
1990, by the way, 1990. So that your thing dates probably 1991, because that was the first year, 91 or 92, because that's when the original Pittsburgh Gladiators became the Tampa Bay Storm.
Right. Yeah, back when they wore blue and red, I believe. Zubaz.
Yep. Yep, and as you said, they had the blue helmet, the original blue helmets.
Right, and basically it looks the same as their jerseys. It's definitely your 80s style mesh, you know, pull away jersey, midriff cut, and Zubaz on the shoulders and sleeves, and then it says Tampa Bay Storm on the chest.
Interesting. How was it? Where was the find? Was it eBay? Was it?
I found it on eBay of all places.
What type of search did you have to? Obviously, you know, all of us who have bought Arena League stuff online, which I've done before too. I mean, I have my Iowa Barnstormers game used my Karachuk jersey here in my closet. Mm-hmm.
My Hunky Cooper '97 jersey came from eBay from somebody who obviously didn't know what they had. I will not tell the price, but let's just say they didn't know what they had.
So what type of searching did you do? I mean, all of a sudden you just said, you know, I'm just going to search just for kickers. I'm going to search Arena Football, and boom, it all of a sudden came up, or was it a...
I have saved searches. I probably have a good, I don't know, 15 to 20 just for Arena Football itself.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been eBaying for, I believe it's 11 years now.
Okay.
So you learn some tricks of the trade and whatnot, and I definitely have the searches out for obscure things, and I even have searches for misspelled items, which I found misspelled teams before, because like I said, people are selling things that they don't know what they have.
Yeah. Like it's like spelling Sabercats with R-E rather than E-R or vice versa.
Or with a K, thinking it's the Nashville Cats.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Oh, yeah, all sorts of stuff like that. I have a Wilson football briefcase from the New Jersey Red Dogs.
Nice.
That was an eBay find. Oh, yeah.
So I will we'll continue with the story here about your jersey. I'm curious to know what – I know you may not want to get – I know everybody has their quote-unquote trade secrets and it happens to eBay.
Right.
Was it just a total surprise when you saw it?
That it was.
Yeah?
I sat there and I was like, no way. And it was a buy it now, too.
No, even better.
So it was just like snatch.
Now, do you mind letting the listeners know how much you paid for it?
I paid... Hold on, let me look.
Or do you want to put it in a ballpark? If you want to
it
keep...
It was under $20.
Holy crap!
Yes. Yes. Again,
oh my God.
People have things that they don't know what they're worth, I guess. I mean, I hate to say that, knowing that they may be listening and, you know, bumping their prices up on eBay, but, I, you know, It went pretty cheap here. It was less than $20 with the shipping.
That's crazy.
I paid a whopping $15.24.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Buy it now for $9.99. Shipping was $5.25. And I believe I had seen this on here before, and I think I missed out on purchasing it.
Oh.
Before. Like, nobody bid on it. And it just popped back up again on my radar.
Well, yeah. My holy grail, and then we'll get back on topic here for this week. I mean, I'm sure everybody, it's one thing we've not talked about before, I will admit, is memorabilia. I have my fair share of memorabilia. I just totally lost my train of thought what I was going to say. My holy grail is to get, and I think I personally too just missed it, is getting the first year media guide. To me, that's my holy grail.
The league media guide?
The original media guide.
Yeah.
I've not been able to find it since.
They are hard. They're hard to find, definitely, because there are probably not many copies out there.
No, I'm sure. Yeah.
Or many copies left.
Yeah,
But I will say in my defense, a lot of my memorabilia is not from eBay. A lot of my memorabilia has come from being a part of the league.
Right.
Irreplaceable things like my Houston Thunder Bears banner from Arena Bowl 15.
Yep. I've seen pictures of that.
That was a story and a half to get that one. And big props to my buddy Touchdown Tom Ando for help in acquiring said memorabilia. Because I feel so bad. He wanted his Buffalo Destroyers one, and unfortunately for where it was in the concourse, it was, I wouldn't say heavily guarded, but guarded enough that we couldn't snag it.
If I would have known, they probably had a Toronto Phantoms one, didn't they?
Yes. They had all the teams, and I wasn't the only one that was taking these things. I mean, there were other people just snatching them and going home with them.
So,
there are other ones out there somewhere, and I'm hopefully one day going to find all of them on eBay, and I'm going to have the whole collection.
That would be neat. That would be cool.
It would be amazing if I got the collection.
Well, very cool. If anybody happens to have their unique item that they want to let us know about, shoot us over an email. You can do so at tim.capper@arenafan.com. Send us a message over on our Twitter account or over on our Facebook page. We're interested. I mean, we just don't want to, you know, we just don't talk about this stuff in order to just off the top of our heads. A lot of arena football fans, whether you are original AF2 fans now for arena football, and to me it's just all arena football, you have your memorabilia that you have and you love. And then what is your favorite piece of memorabilia that you have? I think it's pretty cool. I have my not miniature, but semi... It's larger, you know. You have one already. It's the Foster Championship Trophy that just recently came to me in the mail. I just have to go pick it up, so I'm actually happy to add that to my collection.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yep. We were talking about owners. You know, Woody Kern. We're talking about the new owner, you know, ownership group in Philadelphia. Something that I can remember that I can't remember it happening. Recently, if at all, I mean, maybe it occurred when we weren't as informed as we are now with the internets and whatnot. Utah made a change at ownership.
Yes.
Do I dare say AFLAC? I'm trying to remember. I think because it was the coach's son, or the owner's son was playing quarterback. I think that's what it was. That sting. I know it's on message boards. But either way, they changed the ownership group.
Yes.
Or he's being bought out as the majority owner for the...
Right, I was going to say he's not the majority owner anymore.
Yeah, not anymore, exactly. And it is possible that, and I can't confirm this as of yet, that the former owners of the Utah Blaze, the original Utah Blaze, the Gariffs, if I'm pronouncing it properly, are going to be part minority ownership owners of the Utah Blaze. So they are going to be back into the league. You know, it's funny, there were so many rumors about another league starting and all these original owners being just totally ticked off and whatnot. Look at all the teams that are returning.
Yeah.
Under the new business model.
Right.
So
a much better business model.
Yeah. But there are still the rumors here that they're not paying this and that, and you know, players that are under the current marketing salary, who have been, you know, deemed their franchise player, are still getting more than that. It is Affleck, by the way. It's Affleck. Affleck.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the. As far as I know, I don't think it's the. It's not like Ben Affleck. I think it's.
And it's not the insurance company.
No. That's Affleck. That's right. Oh, no, it's actually more annoying. It's like those Zuzuzas that they're playing at the World Cup. something like that.
I don't think anything could be more annoying than those things.
I can't believe how bad they are. But then again, if you've been into an arena like San Jose with the cowbells constantly,
yeah,
then
I need more cowbell.
Yeah, more cowbell. More cowbell. I think if this had been another, if this had been one of the other alphabet leagues and an ownership issue has arose like this, and I'll give an example like the Alaska team in the IFL, where the owner basically comes in week two and says, I can't play anymore, and the league takes over. That may have occurred in this case, but
that's what I was going to say. I believe that the Utah owners / old AIFA owners were in over their head. I guess. I don't know. I mean, I don't. With the new business model, I don't see how they were in over their head.
Could it have been the initial payment from the $6.1 million that they had to put forward?
Possibly.
I mean,
possibly.
Okay, mind you, okay, $6.1 million and you divide it by 15 teams, you know.
Well, it wasn't quite divided that way, because Dallas obviously didn't pay their half.
I mean, their naming rights.
Right, they didn't pay for their naming rights, so they didn't pay into that portion. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't what they were bargaining for. I just don't know.
It's like $407,000 per team. If that had been the case.
Right,
that had
been the case. But I say better that they got out now than at the end of the season we lose a franchise. So I believe they, you know, at least they made a good decision after their poor decision.
And maybe
the league has learned from this as well.
Maybe for all we know, this was going to be the case from the get go. Yeah, I said there's a lot of stuff that we probably don't know. I mean, okay,
possibly, I don't think they would have shelled out the naming rights. They would have stayed the Utah Thunder. Had that been their overall plan, but I believe that they tried to make it happen and it didn't work.
Unless there was some insight and influence from not necessarily the league, but also maybe from the NFL Network. Because I heard rumblings prior.
Well, they were only drawing how many fans?
Well, they've drawn over 6,000 once.
Right. So your revenue's not coming in of what they probably sat there and probably calculated thinking, oh, we're going to be in the AFL now. We're going to be able to, you know, pack the house. Because, I mean, Utah had a pretty decent fan base back in the original AFL.
Different arena, different location, though.
Correct. But the fan base, you know, was there.
And they did get alienated, I will admit. I will admit, it's obvious, or it's just a matter of, I mean, I've never been to Utah.
The late start hurt them really bad.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
I think that put a lot of doubt in their potential season ticket holders' minds, and you know, you're going to have your big time fans no matter what, because they're going to show up no matter what. But I think you had your fans that were kind of teetering on the whole, I don't know, it's not the old owners, this is, you know, some team that's, you know, dragging their feet and stuff. And they didn't even know what they were going to call them, and that probably scared away quite a few potential season ticket holders.
Well, who's to say that if the Despos do come back, what's to say that it's going to be a total opposite? Who's going to say that they're going to be able to draw? You know,
there's no guarantee.
No.
Especially after this first year being done, the fans know firsthand now what kind of talent that they're going to see. There's no guessing. There's no guesswork anymore now. You know, having seen the games being played and having seen who is playing and who's not playing.
Now, just I'll throw out a question here since we're talking about teams and players and whatnot.
Okay.
If you were on the Board of Governors for the Arena Football League.
I actually am.
Okay.
So go ahead and ask the question.
Okay, sure, why not? would you in any way increase the salaries?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. They can pay these players more and still make the business model work. I'm actually quite surprised that they did the $400,000 deal. They may have done this as a safety net, but I will go out on a limb and say that you will see salaries go up next season. I almost guarantee it.
Now, it would make a lot of sense because, you know, a lot like some of the players did originally, in the CFL, they would go in between leagues and whatnot. You do need to increase salaries because currently you do have some players, and really it's just two just recently that we found out about, that are going to be making the jump back. Well, at least one that we know. I don't know if the other one did, but anyway, I should just continue instead of just hinting at it. Russ Mikna and Sammy Parker going
right
to the UFL.
UFL, yes.
Now, mind
where they make? I believe I want to say they make $50,000.
I've seen that too, and I think they make something on top of per game too. I think on top of that.
And that's your old AFL salary, average-wise. Guys were making anywhere from $30,000 to $60,000.
Yeah, I think, Matt, last time that we had any type of information when it came to salaries under the last collective bargaining agreement, I think the maximum salary was at, I think it was just a shade below 30, if I remember correctly. But what's to say you don't do that and you just go to the CFL and make 38?
Right.
But you got to make the roster.
You got to make the roster, and if you're Canadian, you're gonna make the team. If you're not Canadian, you might be able to sneak on.
Yeah, don't get me started. I disagree with that actually. But this we're not talking here about the CFL. my understanding.
Ooh, touch the nerve.
Yeah.
Don't touch me.
The Mikna thing, my understanding is that he was currently under contract. He was still very similar to, you know, being placed on the leagues. What do they call it? It's not the Do Not Report list. It's the other league.
The other league exempt.
There you go.
List.
Thank you.
Always infamous.
I think he had signed, for all we know, he had signed a 2-year contract. Or he had signed a letter of intent, so to speak. A promise to come back, and with the UFL teams now starting their mini camps, I think he just wants to, because right now they have, you know, it's rumored that, you know, that McNamara will still be a backup quarterback. But still, I guess he wants to come back into the league and say, I'm going to be a team player, yes, I signed, et cetera, et cetera. But according to the Chicago Rush press release that was out today,
mm-hmm.
That he's only going to be missing one game. And that was good. That would make, because they're with their minicamps only being a week.
Right.
Sorry, not a week, being a cut 3 or 4 days. Sort of makes sense. But I mean, my thought to this was, does this mean that the league, like it has done in the past, except with most of the other alphabet indoor leagues, it looks like they've written an out into their contract. I think, if I remember correctly, the way that the terminology went with the old contract that I had seen, if at any time a player wants to be let out of his contract to go to this is my term, an upper tier football league, that's the best way to put it, whether you're in the Arena League or not, but, and they mentioned specific NFL, CFL, that they would let them out of their contract.
Oh, yeah. There were clauses in the contracts that you could be fired, too, the players. Nothing was ever guaranteed with an arena football contract. Not then, and definitely not now. But remember, players used to sign 2-3 year deals. In Philadelphia, Graziani signed a 3 year deal.
Yeah, it's at $250,000 each, right?
Right, but none of it was ever guaranteed.
No, it's not like the NFL.
I mean, they could have, you know, fired him and not paid him a dime. You know, if you don't go out there and play, you don't get your money. You know, so you're always off the hook if you wanted to jump ship for the NFL, which a lot of players did back before the NBC era when they changed the dates. We'd always see the top tier player guys leaving teams to go to mini camps and training camp.
Yeah.
I mean, that was regular practice. It was like, oh, okay, this good guy, yeah, he's going to get a shot at the NFL, so we won't see him for the last 3 games of the season.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, nothing's ever guaranteed. With these contracts. Now, with the league being a single entity and the players being paid by the league, yeah, I don't think anything's guaranteed at all. I mean, you have to actually play to get your paycheck.
Now, I'm trying to remember with the AF2, if the AF2 was not allowing players they weren't being a true minor league, they weren't allowing their players to be called up. I'm trying to remember if that was the case or not, because, you know, if that was the case, you know, nobody was really affiliated with anybody.
There was no affiliations, even though some owners owned both AFL and AF2 teams.
Right.
There was no official affiliations, and yeah, no call-ups.
Well, we could use Doug McGregor as an example. When he owned Austin, and I think he owned, I can't remember which AF2 team he owned at that point, but he had owned so many. But,
or Mark Hamister. He owned Buffalo Destroyers,
Buffalo
and both the Rochester and Cincinnati. So, I mean, he had 3 teams to wheel in and deal with.
That's true. Oh, I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, good old Hammy. Good old Hammy. Watch him bring back a team. Just watch.
Northeast team, I don't know.
I'll give him a call next week.
Okay, you do that. Tell him you have some Milwaukee Iron stocks to sell him. Stock to sell him cheap.
On the cheap.
We have this week, and it's really the first time that I can remember. We always have seen athletes open their mouth. We have seen athletes blast teammates. I guess we could say not, you know, openly. But
oh, believe me, in the locker room it is.
Yeah, but we also had a player.
Yes.
Really body slam and really put down an entire franchise. That's to me.
I can't say anything because I would be accused of the same thing.
Well, you're not a player.
But I'm not a player. No.
You're not a player, and you're not held accountable. Well,
But
anybody who's not does not know what we're talking about, Orlando player, and I think AFL all-time leader in interceptions, Kenny McIntyre.
If two hitter.
basically opened up his yapper.
Yep, he sure did.
After the Predators' last-second loss, or I guess we could say collapse, to the Spokane Shock.
I think it was out of frustration, out of negative motivation towards his team. I don't think it was an actual personal attack. I'm fairly sure he would have said the same thing had it been a former AFL team. He would just have said it in a different way.
I don't know.
I'm not defending him, but I see where he's coming from.
Yeah, but yes, you can be frustrated. There are certain ways that you can say stuff. You know, it's not like Allen Iverson saying practice. You know, what's practice? I don't need to practice. And then there's Jim Mora. Playoffs.
Don't talk to me about playoffs.
But you have. He could have done it in any way, form, shape, or form that he could have. He particularly pointed out that this was a former, or losing to, that he lost to an AF2 team. They should not be losing to an AF2 team. He would have made the same reference if it had been to a current or past AFL team. If it had been San Jose, Philadelphia, or whatnot. I think he just opened his mouth when he really shouldn't have. It's, you know, they got beat. Orlando is not doing well. And if you don't believe us, ask Adam Markowitz. He'll tell you exactly what we're talking about.
I think you can just go to that little thing called standings and give a little click-see on that and,
exactly.
And see how well they're doing.
Exactly. Exactly. You either point blank, you guys got beat. Period.
Right.
Whether you think that you're beaten by an AF2 team, or whether you think you're beaten by an AFL team, you still got beat.
Right.
Right now, there's no. Well, what was he going to do if it had been Iowa? I cannot believe that we got beat by a former AF2 team that was an AFL team that moved from one city to another, and that was his previous AFL team. I mean, actually, they were an AF2 team twice, weren't they? So we got beat by a two-time AF2 team in the Iowa Barnstormers, but they were previous AFL team. You know, I know it sounds stupid the way I put it, but I mean it just doesn't.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Yeah, I know, but you see what I mean? No, it shouldn't matter. Point blank, it should not matter. You know, Kenny Mack should just learn to take it.
It's going to become bulletin board material. Anytime a guy opens his mouth and says something, you know, like that, and the media puts it out there, it just becomes bulletin board material, and it's just going to bite him in the butt in the end anyway.
Especially if they do meet again. Does mean that, well, I don't see them.
I don't think they will.
The only time that they would. Would be in Arena Bowl 23.
Well, you might have another quote-unquote former AF2 team come into town and use that as bulletin board material. Oh, you know, we're just an old AF2 team. You know, we don't count for anything. Boom, there you go. There's your bulletin board material in the locker room.
Gee, well, what's going to happen when, you know, say, for instance, Jacksonville beats them this weekend? We got beat by an expansion club. You know, I mean.
Yeah. He shouldn't have opened his mouth, plain and simple.
No. Yeah, I know. Kenny Mack should have. Because, you know, if you go and you check out the Orlando schedule, right? Mm-hmm. Let's see.
How many former AF2 teams
did
we have on
the top? Yeah, that's exactly what I was doing. They were beaten by former AF2 franchise, the Bossier Street Battle Wings. They were beaten by the former AF2 team, the Iowa Barnstormers. So, and Spokane Shock.
Yep.
So, you know, they've lost those three games. The other, you know, there happen to be 2 and 3, if you want to put it that way, versus former.
Right. Well, they've got 3 games in July where they're playing Alabama, Milwaukee, and Oklahoma City.
Yep, they got Milwaukee again. You are correct.
Like I said, they're going to, you know, those 3 teams are going to have bulletin board material to say, hey, you know, they're just going to blame their loss on us being a former AF2 team, you know, or they're just full of excuses. Let's go out there and kick some butt.
He's also, you know, and he's also called out his quarterback, Nick Hill. And you know what? I think it may not. He may have not said it. It might have been a slap in the face to ownership, saying, "How can you get us, you know, this quarterback?" Actually, isn't Nick Hill a former AF2 quarterback? Hello. So, just to me, I think.
Well, he's just digging the hole deeper.
Yeah.
But I understand. I mean, out of frustration, you say things. Because you're frustrated. I mean, they're obviously not having a great season. I mean, they're not having a horrible season.
No.
But they're not having a good season. And this is, you know, a perennial – this used to be a perennial powerhouse with Orlando, I mean, always being up there. So with him on the roster as well back when this team was a perennial powerhouse. Mm-hmm. So I can see it being very frustrating.
But, that's
gotta know. You just gotta know when to shut your mouth.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was just about to say. He just needs to know when he does.
Again, I'm not defending him, but I understand where he's coming from.
Yeah. So, it, you know, interesting week. I mean, I forget interesting week. Just interesting the past couple of days. Having all this news that's come out in the teams and players and ownership and blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's just, good Lord. Oh, by the way, one thing I wanted to do before we talk about Pick'em, I want to congratulate JP on winning your fantasy game this week. Oh, wait a minute. You didn't.
And who did I lose against?
Oh, wait a minute, hold on. Me!
Oh.
But you know what? Maybe I'm going to give your team bulletin board material because you have me this week again.
Yes, exactly.
So.
Pulling out those stops this week.
Actually, I thought it was pretty funny. You talk about making excuses. I could have sworn that you said to me, hey, Tim, you know, if I had played Ryan Vina, I would have beaten you.
I would have won with Big V. Instead, I went with Kyle instead.
Kyle's a good quarterback. You got to admit, though.
He's a great quarterback, yes. I mean, I have a stacked team, no doubt.
You do? You have a severely stacked team.
I have 900 points in only 7 games.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. Oh, but I have a loss and a tie of all things.
I know.
So, I mean, it's like, you know, if I'm not beating the crud out of somebody, I'm either losing or tying. So, I don't know. No consistency in my team. I'm going to have to yell at him at halftime.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, just so you know, if I happened to have started at Tommy Grady, I would have beaten you anyways. So, we'll leave it at that.
Well, if I would have started Ship Jr., I
would have.
Woulda, shoulda, coulda. Hindsight is always 20/20.
That's correct. In this case, you were wearing blinders.
But I can say in my defense, who is on top of our league at 5-1-1?
Guy will give you props. I will give you props right there. You know, it's, you know, top 4 teams do make the playoffs, if I remember. And hopefully this won't come back to bite me in the ass, and I will still make the playoffs.
We'll see. We'll see.
Exactly. We will.
That's why they play the games.
Yes. That's why we hope that all of our players play the games. I feel bad for
them. I'm just glad I get to play. I'm just glad I get to play our basement dweller 3 times this season. I've already beaten them twice.
You get to play Nashville 3 times this year?
I get to play Nashville 3 times, yeah.
Damn that unbalanced schedule.
But my final 2 matchups are against Miami, who's in 2nd place right now, who had tied me in week 6.
I think it's Joe. I think it's our illustrious leader, Joe Cobb.
So it should be a good
should be a good rest of the year. Yeah, exactly.
Especially now that I got a feel for how these players are going to perform now.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if it will make any difference considering what we have heard with the possible player movements back and forth, changes in ownership, blah, 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 yada, yada. We have our games this week, and we'll also go into pick 'em. And I mentioned before we started taping the show, my perfect week this week, which I think the only game that really I was scared about, I think, was the Iowa game, the Iowa-Bossier City game. In the 10-plus years that I've been with Arena Fan, I think that is the only second true full week. Yes, I've had a 5-0 week this year, or a 4-0 week, whatever it was. But this is really only the second true undefeated week that I've had since I've been playing. And totally. I mean, you did fantastic yourself. I mean, you only had one loss.
And my one loss was that Tampa-Alabama game that I put one confidence points on. So,
yeah,
I was pretty much dead on with my picks and my shaky one. I figured Alabama being at home could handle Tampa, and they almost came back. They almost came back.
It was the start of the game for them that really killed them.
Right. Oh yeah. Yeah.
But I was happy to see Alabama on TV. Their fans are they're a small bunch of people. I mean, God, the Von Braun only holds less than 5, I think, or less than 6,000 people. So, but they're going to get another game. So at least they'll be on TV again. But this week, 2 on Friday, the rest on Saturday, we have top 5 team Jacksonville heading to, previously spoken to, Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville's coming off their bye week. Aaron Garcia is still not sure if he has the all-time TD record or not. The league will have to let us know.
I don't think he cares, to tell you the truth.
Aaron wants his championship.
Exactly.
He wants his championship, and will he stay around if he wins his championship? I don't know, but I think I mentioned this earlier in the season. I do hope that he stays around to become the first ever pro quarterback to pass for 1,000 touchdowns. That would rock. He could do it next season. If he stays healthy, he could do it. Depending on what he does for the rest of the year,
right,
he could do it for next season. But that being said, Jacksonville. I chose Jacksonville.
Jacksonville on this one, most definitely. Sorry, Orlando, but you've... It's just not the final powerhouse you used to be.
No. Perennial powerhouses, speaking of, for the past couple seasons, the best ever start, a career start by an AF2 franchise, that being the Spokane Shock, before moving over, is playing up against Tulsa Talons.
Mm-hmm.
We all know both teams have monster quarterbacks and receiving cores.
Yes.
You have a double threat with Hughley for Tulsa in returns. Rao Veo, if I remember correctly, also does returns for Spokane. So it's a very, very even matchup. All good and Rowley. It's probably going to come. I wouldn't be surprised. It's either going to come down to whoever scores last in this game, or it could come down to, because of such great special teams, it may come down to a special teams play. I don't think it's going to come down to a defensive play. But just because of that, and because of where they're playing the game, I have given Spokane the nod.
Tulsa can easily be 9-1 right now. 1-point loss to Arizona, 2-point loss to Jacksonville.
Back-to-back weeks.
Right, and a 3-point loss to Orlando. The only game that they didn't look like they were in it at all was the game in Cleveland, where they lost by 2 scores. This team could easily be 9-1. However, because they're so shaky and you never know what team you're going to see on the field and Spokies at home this week, I'm going to have to go with the Shock.
You may have one of the quarterbacks, the quarterbacks who have thrown if not the most interceptions in the league this year, but with John Dunn, he actually has rebounded quite nicely. I think if it had not been for Ben Nelson signing with the Gladiators, and I think Ben Nelson was not necessarily a last second pickup, but a very close to being last second pickup for the team. Going up against Iowa, you know, Big V. I don't know. I mean, yes, you know, this is an Iowa team that almost lost to Bossier City. You know, they had to come back. I don't know. Iowa seems to be a very shaky team. Cleveland seems to be a lot more, mind you, with the amount of Cleveland only scoring, that's tough too, because Cleveland only scoring 13 points in the second half last week. They were, you know, point for point. Checking my notes.
Right. So you're checking your notes there?
Yeah, I wanted to make sure I got it right. They were point for point with Milwaukee, and then just Milwaukee just ripped them a new one.
Yeah. Well, it was tied at halftime.
Yeah, exactly. It was tied at halftime, and it wasn't because of
In fact, Milwaukee never had the lead in this game either.
Yeah, and it wasn't because of turnovers. It wasn't because of anything defensively. They just went stale. That's the best way to put it. Either way,
it's probably the water up there in Milwaukee. Yeah.
Either way, or it's the bad stock. Either way, I'm giving Cleveland the nod on this one.
Nope. I'm going with Big V in Iowa. Especially if I attend the game. The Gladiators at home this season are 2-2. 0-2 when I attend and 2-0 when I don't.
Interesting.
And I think I am going to the game on Saturday. It's not been confirmed yet, but a close friend of mine, who we are both good friends with, Big V, wants to go to the game really bad, so I believe we are going to go. Okay. So I'm giving the nod to Iowa.
And one thing, too, I think, which I've forgotten about, is for Iowa, Jesse Schmidt, his touchdown streak of consecutive games with a receiving touchdown was broken last week at 40. I don't know if he's going to – I don't know. I did not know if he was hurt because it looked like he didn't get anything in the second half. So if he does play, maybe he's just going to – he's going to be ticked off and try to start a new one. But it, still, for me, it's still going to be – I kind of feel like I'm going to – if I have one loss this week, I bet you it's going to be that one right there. I just got the sneaking suspicion. But Milwaukee-Cleveland. Battle of the Midwest.
Chicago.
That was easy.
No, Milwaukee-Chicago.
Oh,
you
sorry.
Said Cleveland.
Yeah, what did I say?
You said Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, sorry, same thing. Yeah. Midwest, yeah, but yeah, sorry. It's like saying round table instead of saying roundhouse instead of round table.
Right.
Yeah. Chicago was—they were losing. I did not know how bad their team was when it came to injuries.
Right.
You have now Sammy Parker, and you have Russ Mikhna on the other league exempt list. You have three of their wide receivers on IR. Luckily, they picked up Travis LaFrandais last week, and the only reason why is because he lives in Utah. So that he came to play for the team, obviously, and they beat Utah. So he's really their only wide receiver. Quarterback-wise, I don't know. Milwaukee, after what they did last week, iron. To me, this is a no-brainer. Yes, it's in Chicago, but iron. Milwaukee Iron.
Yeah, I picked Milwaukee on this one. Chicago had the edge until the news that came out about a couple of players that were leaving. And then, of course, their depleted roster also played a big role. But, yeah, Milwaukee in this one.
Probably, I think, one of the worst games of the week. hold on. I don't know, the Vigilantes, Alabama. Alabama's coming off a, they're smarting after what happened last week, after being on national TV for the first time since Arena Cup. But I don't know, it just seems that the vagina aunties just can't seem to get anything done. I really strained to pull that one out of the hat.
That was bad.
I know it was. Alabama. I really can't say anything nice about Dallas right now.
I definitely have Alabama in this one. But this matchup won't be too bad once we get to Week 17 and we have Dallas and Utah both playing at the same time. And there has to be a winner, since there's no more ties in our league.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely Alabama in this one because, wow, Dallas, just wow.
By the way, speaking of Utah, they happen to be our next matchup of the week. Tampa Bay is traveling all the way to Utah. We know they can't drink while they're there. So it won't be there. Won't be, you know, if Tampa Bay loses this one, it won't be because of that. Utah, last week you predicted Utah would only score 27 points. Surprisingly, they only lost by 20 to Chicago. They've actually scored almost double the amount that you predicted at 27. Tampa, that's all I can say. Tampa, I don't know if you plan on predicting.
I thought I predicted how much they were going to lose by, and it was like 25.
Was it that? Maybe it was 20. I wrote down 27. I don't know if it was 27 points or was it to lose by, but either way, you were pretty close. Either way.
Pretty close.
Either way, you're pretty close. But this one's a no-brainer for me, no matter where the storm's coming from. Unless they happen to miss their flight. This one's Tampa.
Lock of the week for me on this one, Tampa Bay. Again, sorry, Coach James, but, you know, this Utah team was just built too quickly at the end of free agency within the league, and it's going to be a rough year, so buckle up.
I think I remember, as I mentioned last week, if I think it was last week that I mentioned it, both new interim head coaches are 0 for the year in Dallas and in Utah.
So it's gonna be a bumpy ride for both those teams the rest of the season, no matter who's at the helm. So buckle up and make the best of it.
Now, an interesting matchup in Arizona. Bossier City is another team that has been riddled with injuries. And if I'm not mistaken, they currently have the longest losing streak in the league, which I'm double-checking, I think. No, they don't. No.
They won against...
Sorry.
Fledging Dallas.
It was Dallas. You're right, it was Dallas. But
they had previously lost, what was it, 6 in a row?
Yes, so they've lost 6 of 7, if I remember correctly. They've lost 6 of 7.
No, they've lost 7 of their last 8.
Is it 7 of 8 now?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay. Going into Arizona, a very high-powered Arizona Rattlers team, who doesn't seem to have a weakness almost anywhere, whether it be return game, passing game, receiving game. I'm surprised. This one wasn't your lock of the week. But my nod is to the Rats.
Definitely the Rattlers on this one.
So it's interesting. Like last week, you and I have one game different.
Yeah.
So we're either going to do well or we are going to suck to high hell.
It all depends on whether I go to that Iowa Gladiators game or not.
Damn, I gotta have my perfect.
Gonna be the deciding factor.
Could have gone and had my perfect week if I didn't. If I'd only gone. Damn it. Don't know what to say.
Hey, I wouldn't mind having another 6-1 week.
Yeah.
I'll take 6-1 weeks the rest of the season.
That's I would too, man. I mean, I don't. What place are you? I don't want to play
with all the 2-5s that I've been having.
What place are you currently in?
I am currently in. It says 39th. I am 6 wins back from tied from 8th. So I am probably sprinkled in somewhere, but it says officially I'm ranked 39th.
Okay, I'm tied.
I am. Tied for 10th.
I'm tied for 5th.
In points. Tied for 10th in points. So I'm slowly coming back point-wise.
Oh, the pick 'em points?
Points pick 'em.
Oh, you're tied with the
Who Dat Army Soldier. 160 points on the year. With a 38-33 record.
Wow. Ouch. Totally different, though. Wow, he has 5 more wins. But I know the pick'em games are a lot different. Especially look at the records for the spread picker. Totally.
Oh, spread picker. I don't even bother with that.
That's so tough.
I don't understand that at all. That's like handicapping cricket games over in India.
Nice. Okay. Nice. Yeah.
To our international viewers out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Indian Premier League. They'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Exactly. Exactly. No friendlies for you. Yeah. Other than that, it's going to be an interesting week. Needless to say, we've had some fantastic news come out of the league with the two new expansion teams. Again, if you are listening to us before Arena Football Friday, make sure you tune in halftime. See what Commissioner Kurz says. See if he lets us in on any other information besides what we already know. He'll probably give the official thumbs up unless there's a PR put out tomorrow by the. Actually, I didn't check. Is the SaberCast website still up? Is it back up? I didn't check. It's one thing I didn't check.
Oh. That would be good to check, wouldn't it?
But either way, we'll probably be getting some more news, and we'll see if the information that JP has let us know about at the beginning of the show comes to fruition, or if we have some surprise extra teams added to the league itself.
Or if I just get Grand Rapids again.
moving to Miami.
Moving.
Rider truck.
Rider truck.
Exactly. Any last words, JP, for this week?
Go out and support your team. No matter what your favorite player of X amount of years has to say about former AF2 teams. And to everybody in San Jose and Philly, congratulations on getting your teams back. I'm not a big fan of Philly, but I rather see teams come than go, without a doubt.
Especially long-time, very knowledgeable, especially San Jose, long-time teams.
Well, San Jose, yeah. Most definitely. To have a void in California was bad.
It's going to be interesting next year. The possible new divisions. By the looks of it, you know, San Jose would head in the same division as Utah, Arizona, and Spokane. So
they will bring prominence back to the West as a perennial divisional powerhouse,
along with the Cowbells. Can't forget those Cowbells in San Jose.
Gotta have the Cowbells.
That's right. Well, again, there are multiple ways that you guys know that you can contact us here at Arena Fan Nation, Twitter page, Facebook. You can send emails to myself. And again, let us know, as we mentioned before, what is your favorite piece of memorabilia that you've collected over the years?
Doesn't even have to be your favorite. I mean, I would love to hear what other pieces of memorabilia people have, both obscure and maybe it's something that anybody could have, but you're the one that has it.
Yeah, and there's always a story behind something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
There's always a story behind something. Just let us know. We want to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
good stuff.
Yep. So for everybody here at the AFL Tonight crew, have a great week. I'm Tim Capper. For JP Worley on the other side of the glass, watch the rebound off the net.